And at this time, let us welcome someone to the podium who is no stranger to our church. The next man coming to forward will be Brad Sinskowski. Next voice you shall hear with that of the living God, spoken through his chosen manservant, Brad Sinskowski. Hear ye him.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. I heard we have a new sound system here, and I decided to give it a test over to the side here to see if you all can hear me all right. Is this thing oriented the right way? Although, I actually sound a little different to myself. So, does that mean it's easier for you all to hear the speaker too? Praise God for the... I'm getting instructions from up top. Hold on, man. I get for using this thing all the time. I don't have much practice at this. If you don't mind looking at it, I'm just going to put it right there. It looks better than what I have on the opposing side. See, I have it already balanced. What you don't know is we had a special operation today before here. It was operation, we need to fix the speaker, because he was looking like a hot mess when he got here this morning. A shirt probably three sizes too big, just coming in with a hat on, a durag, because he didn't have time. What you don't know is I haven't slept last night. But we dropped my son off at the airport this morning so he can go back to Germany. He's in the Army, and we had an amazing time. It was such a blessing to spend those last moments. And I have my sister to thank who squared me away. And look at this clip right here. Oh, yeah, it's holding it all together very nice. So someone help me out there who knows who they are. I shall not say the name. But, hey, together, everyone truly can accomplish more. Hey, wait, is that an acronym for team? It is. So I'm truly ecstatic and thankful to be in the house of the Lord today, to be here with you all. And these next words aren't just words, they're honest, true observations. Sometimes when you have an opportunity to step back and be away for a little bit, it gives you an opportunity to appreciate what you haven't had next to you. I don't think we've spent a little bit of time together here recently. It feels like an eternity, probably maybe sometime during the summer or whatnot, but wow, just the warmth and the love that I just felt as soon as I walked in the door without speaking to anyone was mind-blowing. Welcome home. Amen. Welcome home. And then also, that was blown away by all the wonderful warmth, smiles, embraces, all that good stuff, just like a big family reunion. And I'll tell you what, today is truly the first day of the rest of our lives. Today, if we allow God into our hearts, we truly can have a bite of eternity right now. Christ can give you the peace you're looking for. He can deliver you from struggle. He can deliver you from those broken relationships, from the consequences of poor choices. Maybe we've made some bad moral choices, some poor actions. Maybe we were selfish or said some unkind words to someone we really wish we could have back, but we can't take it back because the past is set. However, through Christ, we can be made new. By beholding, we can become changed. You see, by beholding Christ, that's where we can invite him into our lives to truly become something new and possibly consider a fresh start for the new year. Wait, a fresh start for the day. Because what should we do daily? Die to self. Pick up the cross daily. So in the spirit of what the world says is a new year, a new start, and a new beginning, today, yes, we will talk about a fresh start and some practical steps to get out of a rut. However, we're not the world. We're called to do something more. Brothers and sisters, today, and this isn't even planned, we are living at the end of Earth's history. Regardless if you're an ardent student of Bible prophecies, I would hope in this church we would have some familiarity with maybe Daniel and Revelation. But God is talking to us all. You can feel it. The ground's screaming it. Just look around. How much fear is there day to day out there today? How much uncertainty? How much financial struggle? How much hate, anger? Fill in the blank. Lack of love, lack of patience, the absence of kindness. Or how about the missing smiles and human-to-human interaction that you may have been accustomed to in the past, but now the only human action we can get is a robot talking to us? Yes, some people have best friends called ChatGPT. It sounds funny, but there's a lot of challenges out there today. I got a question for you just before we start. Has anyone here ever tried something and failed before in life? Anybody? Hey, I'm number one right here. This morning, amen. That was an opportunity to learn something. Who has quit something before you even started because you knew you couldn't do it? But maybe later on in life, the Lord proved you wrong. You could do it all along. He gave you those gifts. Or maybe he even gave you some divine help through the Spirit to get there. How many of you have started something and just raised your hands up? I quit. I can't do this. It's too hard. How many times has that negative thought, that false expectation, or maybe that cherished sin that no one else knows about that you can't give up, but the accuser doesn't give it up either, and you just felt God's an eternity away, even though you're sitting right there in the pew? I've been there. I'm going to raise that hand. Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you what. Today is a special message. It's not just about a New Year's. It's not just about a new start. It's special to me. As someone who's had a life full of self-doubt, failure, negative thought, negative expectation, I am telling you, I knew in my mind at 19 years old, I could not do this because it's too hard. Well, guess what? I really can't do it. It's through Christ who strengthens me that allows me to do it. So for today, if you're going through struggle, this message is for you. Today, if you fell short before, or you quit before you started, or you just want to turn the page and take that fresh step with the Lord, let's look at the Word and take a peek today. What do we say? Amen. Let's do it. Keep forgetting I don't need this. Well, let's turn that to the side. All right, bear with me, folks. I'm trying, thinking of a new start. I was like, well, I might as well practice what I preach. I know I do have a reputation for coming here with bundles of paper, fussing with notes, and having them numbered. I'm trying electronic again one more time. So if you see me futzing around with this little bit, I haven't quite figured out the stand yet, but we'll get there. How to make a fresh start. Who needs a new start? There we go. Amen, Mike. All right, here we go. Pablo, I see you over there. We've all made mistakes, and I think we've all kind of shared that already, right? We face setbacks, but oftentimes in life, we allow those past failures to enslave us or to burden us, to weigh us down. Has anybody put on, 50-pound shoes and went to go for a swim in the water? Why do we do it with our past failures in our day-to-day lives? You know what's funny, right? So my son was here. I'm a former avid gamer. He currently is. He was like, hey, Pops, let's play this little game. I'm super competitive. So we're going and, oh yeah, he's doing a number. There's nothing I can do about it. But what's funny is, as that was going, guess what was happening in my mind? It's that negative mindset. Oh crap, I can't do it. He's too good. And I'm just going to this loop, and then he said something to me. He turned to me, he was like, hey, Pops, you know, you're letting your mind influence your actions. He saw it, and it took me aback. Wow. Whew. The past can snare us and rob us potentially of the abundant life God has prepared for us. You know, in John 10:10, Christ warns us of that thief that wants to come to steal, to kill, to destroy. You know, the enemy loves to come after us. He loves to use what has happened in the past. Hey, you cheated on that person. You're going to do it again. Hey, I know you cheated on that test. You're not worthy to go for that profession because you're not good. Look at what you've done. Oh, you just said this and that to this person. You're too dirty to go to church. Why don't you stay home today? The accuser, that's for sure. You see, he doesn't just want to, going back, the Lord isn't just a God of new beginnings, isn't just a God of creation. He doesn't just want to give you a fresh start. He's actively doing it, but are we fighting against it? Think back to this past year, 2025. Maybe, just guessing, maybe some of us resolved to pray more. Maybe some of us said, I'm going to read the entire Bible this year. Okay, maybe you weren't so big. Maybe you just said, I'm going to read the Bible more. And then we're thinking back at this year and we're like, oh, well, that didn't happen. Mistakes made, stuff came up. And if you did the resolution, it didn't work out. Personal note, I'm not a really big believer in resolutions. I haven't finished one yet. But I am a believer in new starts, because today is the first day of, amen, the rest of your life. So let's not look at the past or think about it in this moment. Instead, let's look at the new things God could do for us. You see, God is saying, the book, that's closed on yesterday. It's over. It's time to look at a new thing. You see, God is very interested in your future, even more so than your past, in a way. Why might that be? Well, could it be, going back to our phrase from earlier, that your future is where you're going to potentially spend eternity, worshiping with your Savior face to face, fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ forever? That's our destination. That's our purpose. Oh, wait. That's our destination. We have a calling and a purpose to get there with as many as we can. You know, some people think God's stuck on their history, constantly tallying like a taskmaster the failures. Yes, God sees all, absolutely. But let's look at the context of a verse I would like to share with you today. I would like to point out the promise in Isaiah 43:18. In Isaiah 43:18, it says, the Lord says, forget about what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I am going to do. So when we think about the context of that, right? Israel was stuck. They were just looking in that rearview mirror. They were remembering the glory days of the past. Parting of the Red Sea. That's tough not to let go. That's a miraculous miracle. The past deliverances where God saved his people. They knew what he had did over and over again. But guess what they could not see? They couldn't see what God could do. You see, they were thinking to themselves at that time, man, we went too far. It's over. But God interrupted that particular pity party to say, I'm going to do something new. Maybe, brothers and sisters, that's where you're at today. Maybe you feel like you've made too many mistakes. I know I've had days like that, and that question has popped up. You're worried about the past disqualifying you from God's future. But the good news is that God has a plan, and he's telling you it is not over. So, how do we stop this cycle and step into this new thing? So I'd like to share a formula with you. Did not create it, full disclosure, did research. It's not mine, but I think it's pretty cool to remember. I love acronyms now. START. Wait a minute. S-T-A-R-T. Yep. Start. So whether your failure was financial, relational, or maybe it's a moral secret shame that you pray that no one else in the world ever finds out but God. Whatever it is, this path is for you today. And here's how you can start over. So we got S-T-A-R-T, right? Start. Let's go through those. S, stop making excuses. Oh, I feel like I'm yelling at myself here. That's my number one hobby. If you want a fresh start, stop seeing yourself as the victim. Now, it doesn't mean you weren't a victim, but it's inviting you to stop seeing yourself that way. People can hurt you. Sometimes it's those that are closest to you that can do the most damage. They can scar you. But the only person who can ruin your life is you. Wait, what? I just heard about a brother walking through, we'll just call it Babylon, saving souls. Yeah, the past can be pretty tough. But if God has you today with a beating heart and a breath in your lungs, that past doesn't have to hold you back. Amen. You see, we can do one thing. We have power to control how we respond. So just like when I was playing that game and I was responding by shutting down and quitting, that's what I was doing. Didn't know it at the time, but yep, that was it. He saw it and took a moment to share some wisdom. We can choose how we respond. Huh. The Bible says the starting point is to take responsibility. Proverbs 28:13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Do you want another chance? I know I do. Please, Lord, I need more than I think I need. Well, stop making excuses for the three main causes. There are more, but here's the top three. Number one, admit you didn't prepare. All right? I was up all night. I was going around like crazy, focusing on my son and doing all this and that. I definitely didn't prepare my planned church outfit and had to come with a crazy collar. That was really looking nuts, I'm telling you. It was like hanging down here. You could see my under. It was wild. But thankfully, someone bailed me out. But what was it? I didn't prepare. Period. Proverbs says, a sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them. Was it raining when Noah started to build the ark? Absolutely not. He prepared for the storm 120 years before it arrived. Don't excuse a lack of preparation as bad luck. Man, I had a lot of bad luck in my life. Lack of preparation. Two, admit you didn't listen. Proverbs 15 tells us, plans fail without good advice. Think about that. Going back to the game that one night, it was just really profound. He started giving me some advice and some tips that I would not have even entertained. And because I opened my ears, some dynamics changed. I gave him a little more struggle. The result was still the same. But the point is, none of that wouldn't have happened if I didn't listen. But why didn't I not listen? Why was I so focused on that moment? Well, it's called ego. Now, this was more of a individual ego in a moment, but it can be applied spiritually. E-G-O, edging God out. When we think we know better than God, or maybe our loved one, or whomever that might be, our boss, or whomever that strong resource of advice is, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. Pride typically leads to destruction. And the third item, admit you gave up too soon. How many times were you this close, but you just couldn't see the other side, but you really were? Or how about this? How many times have you seen someone else struggle and you know they can do it? They're right there, but they can't see it. All they can see is that thing that's blocking their vision. Admit you gave up too soon. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you are weak. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. You're part of the club. You're never a failure until you quit. Can anyone think of a positive about having weakness? Is there strength when being weak? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't it easy to be strengthened from a point of weakness? Well, I guess it might be. Christ is there for us. You see, I've discovered that people who are very good at making excuses sometimes aren't very good at much else. Because if we don't stop the excuses, we can't get past that point. And that's the S. T, take an inventory of your life. You see, to start over, we really need to evaluate, what do I have left? We need to look back at our experiences, at what happened, and think, did I waste my pain? You know, Galatians 3:4 asks, you have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. Just jumping back not that long ago, say 2017, I was in the midst of taking my third attempt at my capstone in college. Didn't make it. I went through for the fourth time. It was a mental blocker. I just couldn't finish that assignment. I couldn't get through it. But guess what? That fourth time I had a professor, didn't even know this because you don't see this much in college nowadays. He's actually a believing Christian, man of faith. You know, I just came to him honestly. I was breaking down a little bit and just struggling with this assignment. And I actually prayed with me, understood, and just gave me that little bit of hope that I could just see past that block, take those steps, and get through it. Learned from the failure, learned from the struggle. You see, failure could be both ways. It could be a friend or it can be a foe. Wait, what? Determine which one it's going to be by your reaction. You see, if you've learned from your failure in the past, it can be your friend. But if there's no learning that's happened, and if you're just repeating those mistakes, then it becomes a foe and a bitter enemy. So God can use four general experiences to help shape us. And this is something you can just think of, think in the past, certain experiences you've had in these categories. Personal experiences with family and friends. How about work or vocational experiences? Could be work, school, many other places. Spiritual experiences, well, those are important. Church, camp meeting. I don't know why I'm thinking Pathfinders, but fill in the blank. This is your mind. And some could argue a very powerful one, painful experiences. Don't waste these. So as you take your inventory and you're looking back at your life or looking back at this phase you're trying to reset from, ask yourself these questions. What have I learned? Does anyone know someone who's about 50 years old? Pick the age, it's okay. But you're like, they don't have experience to go with that actual age. Basically, they've had the same year of experience 50 times instead of having 50 years of experience. Why? Well, they never learned. If you don't pause and analyze your failure, you're doomed to repeat it. I'm thinking about my best friend in high school. He stayed there, didn't learn, didn't grow, didn't change. We came across later on in life, and it was astonishing. This was the most intelligent, engaging, like, you could talk to him about anything, and it was just, keep your attention. He wasn't that person anymore. He was just stuck in the past and never evolved. Why? Just kept repeating the same points without learning. And the second thing you want to evaluate is, what are my assets? So what are the good things you have going for you? You know, is it your health, your job, family, your mind, friends, or more importantly, the Lord. So take an inventory of your life. A, act in faith. The third step to a fresh start is to launch out into new territory. You see, the Bible says that the key to changing anything, whether your circumstance or personality, is faith. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, it'll be done to you. Now, I'm not saying everything you ask for, you're going to get exactly in the way, but there is action, there is power in faith. How many times have you hoped for and wished for something but didn't believe it? How many times have you tried to do something that you didn't think you could do and the result was very poor? You see, there is something special that can happen when you have faith. Think of the mustard seed. It's very important. You see, there's a simple and dangerous truth in life. We tend to get out of it what we expect. I wish I would have lodged that one about 35 years ago. You see, if you expect failure, you'll find it. If you think you can't, you won't. I promise you. I promise you. But if you expect God to move, you open the door for miracles. What if? Look at the crippled man in Acts 3. He was begging outside the temple gate. And verse 5 says, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. You see, he did ask for money, but because he was expectant, he had faith, he received the miracle. He walked. Now, too often we ask for help, but we don't expect anything. So we get exactly what we're expected. Now, act in faith. We have to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. We have to stop saying, oh, I can't, it just always happens to me. Life is unfair. Life is unfair. I agree with you. I hear you. But we live in a sin-filled, broken world. But the more time we spend thinking about the past, the more time we waste from our future. Whatever you focus on, you reproduce. Do you hear me? What are the thoughts going in your mind right now? Wherever your mind is, it's very powerful. So, how do successful people handle failure? Well, I would say they don't call it failure. I would say it's called an education, a learning point, whatever you want to talk. My favorite one to bring up, and this is from since I was about this tall, Thomas Edison, the light bulb. Who's heard the story? How many times did he fail? I don't know the number. I know it's hundreds. A whole bunch. But guess what? Every time he failed to create that light bulb, he discovered how not to do it. He didn't quit. And ultimately, let there be light. In a much smaller way, a little light bulb. So, don't let the fear of the past paralyze you. Faith is not the absence of fear. Mm-mm-mm. Faith is moving ahead in spite of that fear. Stop worrying about what others think. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safely. How many times were you worried about, you wanted to do something, but you're like, oh, what are they going to think? But you had that, it was burning, you wanted to do it. You just wanted to, whatever that thing is for you. And you just held yourself back because of fear. R, refocus. Who has issues with thoughts and how you think? Anybody negative? Don't expect the worst. Glass half full. I see you waving back there. And even if you didn't raise your hand, I'm sure we all can relate in a little bit. If you can't relate, bless you for being positive. Refocus. To get a fresh start, you have to rethink the way you think. Wait. Rethink the way we think. What are we talking about here? Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The logic is simple. Your thoughts determine your feelings. Your feelings determine your actions. It's a cycle. Have you ever been mad before? Has anyone ever made you really upset? What happens inside your mind after that event happens? So you're feeling, you have the emotion, okay, you're upset, but what's going on inside your head? Are you going over it and replaying it in your mind? What does that do to your emotions and feelings? And how does that feeling that you're carrying with you, how does that influence what you decide to do and say to others? I have to admit, I was going through a real stressful day at some point last week. There was just so much going on. And I allowed that to influence how I spoke to someone. And I had to go back and apologize and be like, you know, I'm sorry. That was completely uncalled for. There are no excuses. There's this going on, but you don't deserve to be spoken in that way. It's right here. So your thoughts determine your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions. If you're acting in fearful ways, it's because you are thinking fearful thoughts. If you want to change your life, you must change your mind. Romans 12:2 commands us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the question is, which memories are you rehearsing in your mind, playing over and over again? Which old tapes? Okay, hold on, let's update. Which old DVD? No. Which podcast are you playing over and over in your mind of the past that you cannot get rid of this painful memory by trying to resist it? If you walk around saying, I'm not going to think about this anymore, what do you think you're doing? You're thinking about it. Couldn't you have told me that like some time ago? I mean, I thought I was doing the right thing by saying, I'm not going to think about this. You're thinking about it. Don't resist negative thoughts. Replace them. You must change the channel of your mind. What is the best thing to tune into? Amen. And where can we find him? In God's word, for Christ is the word. Psalms 1 gives us a beautiful promise. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night. They are strong like a planted by a tree, and they succeed in everything they do. So you see, notice what's going on here. It doesn't just say you'll be successful if you read the Bible or if you just hear a sermon. It says you must dwell on it. Take some time on it. Allow it to become part of you. Be like a tree. Get your roots down into the Word. Allow those roots to dip over by the river and get the Spirit of the Lord into you. How? Dwell on his word. Notice what it says. It doesn't say you'll be successful if you just read the Bible or if you just hear a sermon. We have to take that and match it with thinking and dwelling on those eternal truths. Dwelling on God's word isn't very hard. Some of us make it into a chore. Just means, in some way, play that in your mind. Whatever your way is it reading, is it thinking, is it listening? I don't know what's best for you. That's for you to decide. But get the word in your mind and think about, what does it mean? What is it saying? It's amazing what your brain can do when we shut down the noise that's on the outside. What's your noise? Turn it down a little bit. Fill your mind with God's word. And you'll stop seeing yourself through the lens of your past failures. You'll start seeing yourself the way God sees you, as his redeemed, as his blessed, loved child, that an eternal, incomprehensible price was paid just for you. That's power to start over. Our last one, T, trust God. Finally, we get to a fresh start, right? We have to trust God to succeed. You're gonna have your past experiences wanting to creep up, right? Well, let's have trust in God, that God has the power. You see, we've already proven that we can't do it on our own. 100% cannot do it on our own. That's why we failed in the past. It's not that you don't have a part, but we need more. You see, some people stumble and fall and get up and say, I'll try harder. Yeah, I was doing that with my son. I was trying the same thing over and over again. It just wasn't working out. I was just getting madder and madder and then shutting down. But that's just the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Have you ever left the stove on and put your hand on it? Well, if you haven't done it once, I mean, I certainly have. Did you do it a second time? I hope not. But if we keep doing that same thing, we'll definitely get the same result. So why not try something different? We can't change who we are. I can't do that. God can do it. You see, success in the Christian life isn't about trying harder necessarily. It's about living smarter by giving God control, giving the keys, giving the steering wheel. Zechariah 4:6 says, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, the Lord says. God specializes in a new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we're coming to a close right here. When someone becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person inside. Not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God's saying to you today, in this very moment, I don't want to just have you turn over a new leaf. I want you to have a completely new life from the inside out. Now the question is, well, I'm not going to ask if you're going to have a fresh start this year. Are you going to have a fresh start today? That's your choice. And it's not the one you said on the outside. It's the one you say on the inside when you leave here and those thoughts start coming up again and those old patterns start coming up and those past want to come up and get you. Will you have a fresh start in this moment because it's coming back up again? It's your choice. God has promised to do a new thing, but we must follow his plan. If you can remember start, it might help you out. Stop making excuses. Take an inventory of your life. Act in faith. Refocus those thoughts on God's word. And trust in God what you cannot do. So, thank you for coming to serve the Lord today by coming to his sanctuary and saying, he is your God and there is no other before him. But more importantly, thank you for being real today and just sharing that we are all human. We are all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, but we acknowledge we have a Savior. We have a Savior in heaven that wants to remove you from your misery. He wants to take that secret sin you have hiding and rip it out of your heart and cast it aside and give you new desires. To take that stony heart and put a heart of love and flesh in there. Brothers and sisters, why poison today with the mistakes of yesterday? Today, now is your calling. Now is the chance to start fresh. Not because it's a new year, not because of a resolution, but it's because Jesus Christ is standing at the door, begging, pleading, banging on the door of your hearts and saying, let me in. Why are you doing it yourself and suffering? Why do you doubt? Why do you quit? Why don't you feed on the word like I did? I love you. I've given everything for you. Please let me in. And we could partner together and you can be a new creature too. Who wants to have a fresh start this year, this day, this moment? I say amen, praise God. Because this church, Hudson SDA Church, right here, is a light on a hill, and you have a mission. And I see that mission starting to come forward. I see some new faces. I see some different people. It's to bring the message of peace. It's to bring the gospel to a world that is suffering. Brothers and sisters, today is the first day of the rest of your lives, and your opportunity to start fresh. Amen.